Let us pray. O Lord, we beseech you, let your continual pity cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your succor, preserve it evermore by your help and goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. I love books. I really, really love books. Ever since I could earn money as a wee child, I have spent a small fortune building a decent library. And I'm not the only one that has labored to do so, to build a vast collection of writing over the years. During the War of 1812, the British came through Washington, D.C., and burned down the Library of Congress, which at the time had about 30,000 books. When the war had ended, Congress purchased Thomas Jefferson's personal library, which consisted of 6,487 books. Now that's a lot of books for our day, but just think about it back in the early 1800s. And as impressive as Jefferson's library was, it didn't even compare to a Persian grand vizier in the 10th century that had a library of 117,000 volumes. 117,000! That's quite impressive, I think. And it's said that when he traveled, he took the entire library with him on 400 camels. In alphabetical order. I think he had OCD. Just imagine this. Books are amazing. They have been my teachers and instructors throughout the majority of my life. From them, I have gained knowledge and wisdom. In our Old Testament passage today, the book of Ecclesiastes presents us with a sage, a seasoned teacher, wishing to share his learning and experience with us. And the message he gives throughout the book might possibly be summed up best by the Rolling Stones classic, I can't get no da-na-na, satisfaction, da-na-na, but I try. And I try, and I try, and I try. Ecclesiastes is actually one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's quite mesmerizing, really. In fact, the framework of the book is kind of like looking at a dead body. The sage leads us on a journey revealing to us that all is meaningless. And as the book's structure continues to unfold, this body decays and decomposes until only bones and ashes remain. All is vanity. All is meaningless. Like chasing the wind. Now, this most likely does not appear at first to be good news for us. Everything is meaningless? Why bother? If there is nothing new under the sun, then why am I here? What is the point? But Ecclesiastes is an amazingly uplifting book, make no mistake. Why? Because it reveals to us that nothing on this earth can satisfy our longing for joy other than the Lord Himself. Daniel Trier comments, vanity arises from humans seeking to gain lasting joy on their own apart from God by turning temporary delights under the sun into idols. I say it again, nothing on this earth can satisfy our longing for joy other than the Lord Himself. And our longing for joy stirs up this deep and insatiable hunger within us as we wait in hope for a new creation to be birthed. Think of that brilliant quote by C.S. Lewis, which states, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." So what are we to do then?
We are to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, as St. Paul reminds us in the book of Colossians. But before we investigate our true and lasting joy, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, we must hear the words of the sage to refresh us and to remind us that nothing in this world, nothing can satisfy us or fulfill us or bring us the joy for which we yearn. People place their hope in things that cannot give them what they desire. And that's why when we hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus, it really is that. It really is good news. It's the best news possible. It's the best news that we could ever hope for. For Jesus Christ has come into this world to make all things new. This decaying creation that we see day after day will be made new. That includes you and me and everything. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12, found on page 394. Now the sage, if not King Solomon, is someone like Solomon, a person who devoted himself to the pursuit of wisdom and understanding. And what is the summation of his journey? What has he learned that he's wanting to pass on to us? Well, he says this, I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. He's not holding back any punches here, is he? But is God truly to blame for the way things are? The book of Genesis informs us that the way things are under the sun is not that the way things were. The tragic experience under the sun that we face is our own fault. We chose death over life. We chose folly over wisdom. We rebelled against our lasting joy, and we chased after temporary pleasures. And this imagery of chasing is really key, I think. For in our sinful plight, we are incapable of chasing after God. That is why he came chasing after us. Amen?
Amen?
We chase after things that are passing because we are far too easily pleased. We chase after these things that don't satisfy. They're not eternal. And that is why everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. We dabble in this. We try a little bit of that. We experiment with this to no avail. To no avail, all vanity. You like pleasure?
Yes.
Yes, we all like pleasure. We're Americans. Surely we do. We go seeking after the latest Apple gadgets. We frequently go out eating chili rellenos and sampling top shelf margaritas. They're delicious. We've got to pursue the luxurious lifestyle. From entertainment to traveling to housing, you name it. We've just got to have it. We've just got to have it. Steve Rogell shares a story about a large family celebrating the 4th of July. And in this family, there was a 4-year-old boy named Johnny who just loved watermelon. And who's to argue with him because it's delicious. And it just so happened that mom and dad had purchased this really big watermelon and set it on the counter. Well, Johnny couldn't take his eyes off of it. Everyone in the family told him, leave it alone. They told him they would cut it up and eat it later. They told him it was too heavy for him to even try to pick up, and that if he tried it, it would roll off and split open on the floor. And everyone thought that he had understood them. So they went about their business. And as they were about to relax and chill out, they heard this boom. And the watermelon had rolled off the counter, cracking down the middle when it hit the floor. Family members came swarming into the kitchen, seeing what had happened. Shock, grief over this beautiful watermelon, and anger set in among members of the family. But before anyone could say anything, Johnny, the 4-year-old, looked up and said, "Wow, I never saw that happening." Are we not like that young child? We don't just like pleasure, we love it. We just gotta have whatever this is. Because we think it's going to offer us what we really desire. We think it's going to bring us that joy, that satisfaction, that fulfillment. What does